Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
At its most fundamental and simple terms, art making is making something that expresses something. We can doll up that simple statement with all kinds of qualifications. We can say, for example, that art making is something that's beautiful and that expresses greater truth. But it can also be something that's chaotic, that expresses an emotion. Now, of course, you and I are photographers, and for most of us, that's our primary means of expression. It's the medium that we've chosen to be where we invest our time and energy to express ourselves, to express something artistic, whatever that might mean. But in particular, the idea that art making is creating something that expresses something, that phrase does not specify what is created nor what is expressed. I doubt any of us who have studied photography or taken a class in photography, that's probably not where the instruction begins, that we can make something that expresses something. Usually in photography, it's going to be that we can make a print or a book or an exhibition that will express something like how beautiful nature is, our own inner feelings, the poetry of life. In other words, there is a sort of template for how fine art photography is defined and what is expected from most of us. And I'll bet this would be pretty consistent. If you were to interview 100 random people and say, what is fine art photography? If those people were not photographers, they could probably answer pretty easily. And they'd say, pretty pictures. And if they're a little deeper thinking, they might say meaningful or expressive pictures. But if pressed a little further to define, for example, how that whatever it is gets made, they will probably universally define the same sort of thing, the same sort of medium. A photograph, a fine art photograph, is matted in some kind of mat board, framed, hung on the wall. If the person asked is a bit more sophisticated and knows something about the history of photography, they might say that another medium would be the portfolio, in the Ansel Adams or Brett Weston sense of portfolio, matted prints that are held together in a clamshell box, maybe with a title page, etc. And if they think a little more about it, they may very well come up and say that fine art photography can also be represented by a poster, because so many of us have posters on display in our homes. And they'll probably include books, because fine art photography books are relatively common, coffee table books, that kind of thing. But here's where it gets, at least for me, particularly interesting. What if the something that you have to express doesn't fit the matted print, the portfolio, the poster, or the book? The trick in that question, which may or may not be obvious, is the what you want to express comes first, and the medium comes second. Whereas for most people, including most photographers, the medium comes first, and the content comes second. I'm a fine art photographer, therefore I make prints. I may make all different kinds of prints, and I may have different aesthetics and black and white and color, etc. But basically, I make prints or portfolios or posters or books. The medium comes first. The content, the expression, fits inside the medium. But it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, for a lot of photographers, that's backwards. Certainly was for me. Now, here's where I get into dangerous territory. I'm going to describe what happened in my creative life, but please don't interpret that as a recommendation that this is what needs to happen in your life. There's a principle I want to try to communicate, but not a formula. So if my path doesn't match your path, that's okay. Hopefully we can dig around deep enough to get to a principle. In my case, I started making matted prints. I then made a couple of portfolios. I never did make a poster because that's a commercial thing and I never had the money to be able to do it. and I never produced a book until relatively late in my career. So when you get right down to it, the only thing I produced in the first half or more of my photographic life were original prints, almost all of which were matted and signed, some of which, particularly duplicates, were not matted, but tucked away nonetheless in archival boxes, etc. But after I'd been doing photography for almost 20 years, for reasons that I can now only ascribe to luck and happenstance, I started thinking about flipping around this question of medium and expression, the something that I make and the something that I express. And instead of putting the something that I make first and then trying to work within that structure to express myself, I started turning it upside down and thinking about what I wanted to express, which then almost universally required a search for a medium in which to express it. Maybe I can explain this better if I give specific examples. I developed a project that I wanted to express that had to do with describing the lives and the actions and whatnot of people like my grandfather, who were machinists, who worked with steel, who had shops. And that wasn't something I could express in a single image. It was something that was far better expressed in a book. But books are expensive, and books are commercial. So I set about the idea of redefining a new medium that I could use for that project that would make sense and allow me to create something that expressed what I wanted to express about machine shop guys. There wasn't a medium for that, at least not that I was aware of, that allowed me to do it. So I had to invent a new medium to fit the expression that I wanted to create. And the result was folios. And forgive me if you're not familiar with folios, you can go onto my website and see examples and explore them, but I suspect that most of you know what a folio is. And it was the first example in my creative life where the medium was second. It followed what I wanted to express. The medium was constructed to fit the expression that I knew I wanted to make. But shortly after that, I ran into one of the limitations of folios, and that is the text in a folio goes with each picture on a separate sheet of paper. Image and text, if you will. I'll have more to say about that in just a minute. But one of the problems was once I sent a folio out into the world, the individual sheets, and there might be 5, 10, 15, 20 sheets of paper that each had a separate image with its associated text, they could get shuffled. So folios were not a good medium for long-form storytelling. And that was precisely because folios were not bound like a book, so the sequence of pages was not fixed by me, but could easily be shuffled once they're out there in the world. So for long-form storytelling, where the text and the images had to be presented in a specific order, it required that I invent a new medium. Even a matted print hanging on the wall, or a portfolio, or a poster couldn't handle that. A book could, but again, a book is a commercial entity, and they're expensive. So I set to work and figured out how to do what are now called chapbooks, a term that I've borrowed for my photography from the world of handmade artist books. Chapbooks are sewn with multiple pages held together in a specific sequence. I had to invent that medium to fit the expression I wanted to make. I did essentially the same thing with Kokoro, my PDF periodical, where, thank God, I didn't have to invent the PDF concept, but once I discovered the PDF concept and saw what Adobe was doing, I realized it was the ideal format for digital books that allowed me to control things like page sequencing, typography, image placement, backgrounds, etc. In this case, maybe it's a stretch to say I invented a medium to fit my desired expression, but more maybe that I adapted an existing medium through the idea of templates to what I wanted to create. And the fourth example of inventing a medium to fit my expression are the latest thing I've done, which are called field notes. This is where I'm matching a single image with a quick observation, sometimes a little poem, sometimes a little philosophy, sometimes a little humor. But with these, I write on the piece of photographic paper underneath the image. And in terms of the sort of graphics or the feel of them, they've probably come from my admiration of coasters from a bar or tarot cards, somewhere in that end of the graphic spectrum. So for me, inventing a medium to express what I wanted to express was the first step before I could even create anything. Essentially, I had to walk away from matted prints, portfolios, posters, and books because they were too constricting. They were too defined. They didn't allow me to express what I wanted to express. And I have to admit, there was a bit of an existential crisis involved in walking away from what photography is, what photography is defined to be by the history of photography, by galleries, by other photographers, by every aspect of fine art photography that I could find. I had to let go of that and realize that inventing my own medium was a necessary precursor to being able to express my own thoughts. But to be honest, it goes one step further than the physical media of folios, chapbooks, Kokoro, and field notes. And that has to do with the content. Here again, there was a formula that has been handed down to us that we've inherited from the early days of photography, from the masters of photography that have come before us. And primarily, that is the single image that is spectacular, that's wonderful, that takes your breath away. Nothing wrong with those. I love that kind of photography as much as the next. But sometimes I found that I couldn't express myself thoroughly, not as I would like to, with a single image. And this crisis expanded exponentially with the advent of digital photography, where the technical challenges of photography were so easily overcome. And because of the nature of digital photography, I found myself capturing more and more and more images and processing them with relative ease. So a single image rarely did the job. From time to time, it was great. It was the perfect answer. And I could use the inherited media of the matted print, the portfolio, the poster, or even the book if I chose to. But having broken away from those physical means of presentation into folios, chapbooks, Kokoro, and field notes, I found it a little easier to separate myself from the single image and its dominance in the world of fine art photography since the beginning of photography. And in that sense, it opened the door to inventing my own medium in terms of the content, not just the means of presentation. So I started thinking in terms of seeing in sixes, and one-picture stories, and trilogies, and in particular, image and text fusions. For example, the Machine Shop Guys I was mentioning earlier, a project that eventually was published as a book titled Made of Steel. And as a side note, that one was particularly challenging because I had been taught, it had been drilled into me in my youth, that any photograph that needs text needs to be a better photograph. Well, it took me half a dozen years or so fighting with that concept to realize it was just plain wrong. That it is possible to use text as a crutch for bad photographs. But it's also possible to use text and a photograph in a combination that fuses the two of them to make something that's far more meaningful and far more powerful, far more emotive even, than either the image or the text by themselves. There is a synergy when done properly where image and text create a whole that's greater than the sum of the parts. The image and text fusion that I did in Made of Steel was usually pretty short, a sentence or two, at the very most, a paragraph of three or four sentences. But on occasion, I would find myself wanting to write a little more with an image, and that was the birth of one-picture stories, where essentially it might be a picture and a page of text. and scan across the world of fine art photography, I just couldn't find this anywhere. The closest was, of course, Duane Michaels and his work, which was a tremendous inspiration for me. It was almost permission for me to start combining image and text. But One Picture Stories, which are primarily found in my digital periodical Kokoro, are a whole different way of expressing myself in a medium that I'm not sure existed in photography, at least not that I was aware of. Which brings me to the last two things I wanted to mention here, which is trilogies and seeing in sixes. Both of these media of presentation involve multiple images, may or may not involve text, may or may not even involve a title, but they do expand beyond the single image, and both of which we decided to challenge our readers with a number of years ago and put together a book of six image stories and three image stories, respectively called Seeing in Sixes and Trilogies. Interestingly enough, both of these ideas caught fire with our readership, and there are lots of photographers and groups who have adopted Seeing in Sixes and Trilogies as a means of thinking through the creative process and what they want to express. Both of which, both Seeing in Sixes and Trilogies, don't fit very well in matted prints, portfolios, posters, or books, the primary inheritance of photographic media in fine art that were essentially the only media of expression in the mid-20th century. The point I'm trying to make is this. As members of culture, we inherit certain things that are wonderful. If we'd been born in China, we might be much more comfortable with the scroll. If we had been born in ancient Greece, it might have been marble sculptures that are bigger than life. But we were born and have chosen to spend our time in the world of fine art photography. And that means that we've inherited these standard ways of presenting our work, prints, folios, posters, and books, but that those are not the only ways we can do so. And sometimes that means we have to invent our own medium of expression. And once again, I'll just emphasize, I developed the idea of folios, chapbooks, Kokoro, and field notes because it fit and worked with the kinds of expression that I wanted to make. And I'm not recommending that you should use those methods unless they happen to fit your method of expression too. You may have to invent your own means of expression. And that's really what I'm hoping to get across here, is that a deep introspection into what it is you want to say, why you want to say it, the best method for saying it through your photographic work might lead you to a different medium than any of those we've inherited from our forefathers in photography. That's okay. I've thought for a long time now that people looking back at our generation in photography are not going to be impressed with the workflow changes demanded by digital photography. That's just going to seem like the march of technology. But it's how we use that technology to create more meaningful means of expression. That's where the artistic flowering will take place. And wouldn't it be interesting to look back 100 years from now and see if that's what our generation is admired for? Not just the content of our work, but the variety and creativity of our means of expression, and how we, as a generation, have completely redefined and expanded what fine art photography can be. To me, that's an incredibly exciting aspect of being a photographer today.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.